that has not sent the minutes. Can I get the second?
I second, Chair.
Honorable Supply, second. Thank you very much. The minute is duly adopted. So we then go to the next minute.
Yes, Chairperson, in the minutes of the 23rd, these minutes were also, Chairperson, I forwarded to all the set of minutes and I requested whether I'm a circulate it. So I didn't get a go-ahead from you, that's why I didn't circulate to the minutes.
Okay.
23 March, briefing by the Department of Human Settlements on the intervention undertaken to stabilize the Housing Development Agency and the Property Professional Regulatory Authority, and briefing by the Department and the property practitioners on the transformation of the real estate agent of the real estate sector. Attendance. Department, ministry, on the department. Opening and welcome by the chairperson and apologies. And the agenda was adopted. Briefing by the department. On the intervention. Ms. Amkuba, the Minister of Human Settlements, in her opening remarks, she informed the committee that she was in a cabinet meeting and she had a matter to table and requested to be released as soon as she was done with her introductory remarks. She informed the committee that the entities have been stabilized by appointing board members for both Housing Development Agency and the Property Practitioners Regulatory Authority on 1 November 2021, and chairpersons together with their respective board members were inducted. To ensure stability, the department and the entities had to build a relationship with the stakeholders, including those who previously took the entities to court, to ensure that they were on the same page to reduce the risk of litigation. She also stated that she had met with the Rebosa and agreed that it should give the board time to settle so that it can meet to look on operational issues that were raised and frustrated and frustrated about. In the process of appointing the board, the minister ensured that the members of the board were people who were active in the sector, practitioners, and understand the issues. Commitment of good working relation was reached to make sure that disputes were resolved out of court. On the stabilization of PRA, there were allegations in the media and also from Public Service Commission, which the board was dealing with it. Priority was to stabilize and ensure good governance practices, operational efficiency, brand management, brand protection for the entities, as well as investigate allegations. The minister has met with the board and instructed it to fill vacant position. With regards to PRA, the minister reported that she has met with the board in order to ensure stability and has gone through its annual performance plan, provided feedback in order to ensure what will be presented in Parliament was about, was what both the department and the entity would be accounted for. With regards to the Housing Development Agency, the board has been appointed and was given clear instructions to ensure stability, rebuild the brand, and to ensure that executive vacant position will fill. The list and the names of candidates were since been submitted for concurrent final approval and processing. She indicated that the SDA has been damaged and has to be rebranded. She also alluded to allegations in the media space about the entity and has been putting pressure on the new board, which was less than 6 months in office. Allegations were coming in all forms, WhatsApp messages and whistleblowers who should be protected. The minister also reported that there were some allegations leveled against some members of the Housing Development Agency executives, which were being investigated, and since some of these were still pending, and undertook to present the outcomes to the committee once they were concluded. She also appealed to the members of the public to come forward with valid evidence on the malfeasance impropriety. On what was being done currently, the minister indicated that a full media briefing was scheduled for later in the week, that week, an announcement of new policy development, including mechanisms to deal with complaint system challenges, is not easy. Put systems and processes in place that provide concrete output in order to make positive impact in the lives of South Africa. It was also stated that the department had taken a decision that during quarterly performance briefing, it will present the investigations and recommendations on all. Full media briefing was to be held where policy changes were to be announced. There were incidents where some individuals were complacent when the minister, both and or chief executive officer kept on changing and continue to do as they wish. Change was not easy. However, it was important that it was implemented. To put processes in place that would lead to good results and output was crucial. There were various allegations that were pending in HDA, but those would not derail the entity in doing its work. The board was also instructed to make sure that HDA should be a developer of choice. The reputation of the past should be reinstated. Ms. Mwamba, Deputy Director General, presented on behalf of the entity. The presentation was outlined as purpose of the presentation, stabilization of the Housing Development Agency. Background processes followed to the appointment of the new board, members of the board, filling of executive posts, improving performance, stabilization of property practitioners with judicial authority. Background processes followed for the appointment of the new board, members of the new board, filling of executive posts, improving performance, induction and recommendation. Mr. S. Mobeni, chairperson of the board, remarks on the stabilization of PRA. The chairperson concurred with the minister that the board was appointed on 1st November 2021. The board was expected to deal with transitional issues from Estate Agency Affairs Board to PRA, changes in the mandate and issues of change of management. The board was expected to deal with strategic plans, corporate plans, and review of annual performance plans, and the sessions were held in terms of the new mandate. Findings from AGSA, litigation and public trust, and the reputation of the brand was part of the work for the new board. The board was has managed to put turnaround strategy and also to find common grounds with various stakeholders, including the reposter. The issues of litigation have been discussed and agreed to resolve them outside court. He informed the committee that there was a complaint received from the Public Service Commission against the chief executive officer and has interacted with them. A decision was taken, however, was not in a position to fully disclose the decision. The board was also busy with the transformation of the sector, and that was backed by the Act. There was also positive feedback from stakeholders and willingness to cooperate in the implementation of on the topical issue transformation fund by PRA. Establishment of the Property Research Center to focus that deals with transformation and township economy by giving access to previously disadvantaged individuals to participate fully in the sector. Race, gender, and geographical representation was still a challenge. Dr. T. Rashtanga, chairperson of the Housing Development Agency, on the stabilization of the agency. Dr. Rashtanga indicated that the HDA is a strategic implementing agency within the human settlement sector, as the agency is charged with the responsibility of identifying, acquiring, assembly, and packaging of land for development of integrated and sustainable human settlements. It is an agency that supports government in its endeavor to transform special settlements and deals with legacy of the past. The board started on the middle of November 2021 and found an agency that was ailing, faced with many challenges of non-compliance with government protocols. The agency was run by administrators as well as interim boards due to lack of the stable board. As a result, the agency had obtained qualified audits for its high staff turnover, especially senior executive. It was an organization that was under administration characterized by a culture of trust deficit. Disgruntled staff members high staff turnover of particular executive, which resulted in organizational instability. The board established board committees such as the Audit and Risk Committee and other committees in an endeavor to stabilize governance. The board was also given a clear directive by the minister to recruit the CEO and the CFO, and the process has been concluded and the names have been submitted to the minister for approval. Given oversight of the implementation of the audit plan, 17 out of 28 audit findings have been dealt with. Some audits have led to investigations internally and externally, some dealt with by the special investigating unit and some by courts. Internal investigations in the procurement space were underway, and staff members implicated have since left the organization. There has been engagement with the unions as well. The organization has been low performance and instituted a turnaround performance center looking at projects with challenges. The organization suffered a blow on its reputation and image damage control and interacting with the stakeholders has taken place. There was a process of reviewing the structure of the agency, and the agency needed to be recalibrated. There was a need to deal with transformation of vulnerable groups such as women, youth, and people with disabilities. He stated that the housing development agency has been dependent on the work sourced from municipalities and provinces in order to generate a fee out of that, but that was not sustainable. However, the HCA was in a conversation with the minister on a recapitalization of the organization to be financially self-sustained. In other words, alternate the ways of capitalizing the entity as a developer of choice for the development of the integrated and sustainable human settlements. It was also intimated that the entity intends to collaborate with other sister entities, namely NHFC and NHRC, in order to create a forum of strategize on human settlements issues. Briefing by the department and CRA on the plans to accelerate the transformation on the real estate sector, Ms. Mukhala, Chief Executive, presented on behalf of the presentation. The presentation was outlined as a paper of the transformation background, transformation pillars, legislative mandate of the CRA transformation approach, mandate and strategic objectives, transformation programs, transformation fund, educational interventions, stakeholder engagement and recommendation, and deliberations. The members welcomed the appointments of the new boards of both entities, and their efforts in stabilizing the entities were acknowledged, appreciated the role played by the minister in the short space of time following her appointment, and the revamp of both HDA and CRA. The drive of transformation by CRA was also welcomed, as the property sector was a lucrative business. Also, the stabilization of HDA to be a developer of choice was also welcomed, as it used to be under administration. It was a question whether the board has investigated the chief executive officer of the PRA as instructed by the minister, and whether the CEO would be placed under precautionary suspension. The chairperson of the board requested that the board be accorded some latitude to do its work in a manner that was not biased and prejudicial, but open and transparent. He also undertook to inform the committee of the board's decision at the right time in a manner that is accountable and responsible based on the facts before the board. He also admitted that indeed on 10 December 2021, the minister did write to the board, and that the board did respond to the minister before the end of December 2021, whereby it has outlined time frame and process to be followed. He also informed the committee that the CEO has cooperated with the board and requested it to be afforded the opportunity to finalize the process and therefore appealed for patience. Clarity was sought on how many previous disadvantaged individuals were assisted thus far by CRAD in order to participate in the real estate agents. On issues of the transformation, it was reported that there was a very strong transformation agenda in the NDT, and that there was to be an anti-racism workshop to be undertaken. Clarity was sought on what the role of the representative from other departments, such as Department of Public Works, was. The representatives from other departments were covered in the enabling legislation to fast track the department's mandate, that is, attend board meetings in order to deliberate on the delivery of human settlements. The department also concurred on the need to strengthen oversight. Rationale for the HBA to render implementation support on catalytic projects in Gauteng, including reasons for not implementing anti-fraud and anti-corruption plan. It was reported that a risk and anti-fraud and anti-corruption plan has been approved, including setting up the ethics committee earmarked for 4 April 2022. In addition, anti-fraud training has been done and completed. The entity was still dealing with the issues of disclosure of financial interest, as some were still outstanding, whose cut-off date was during 8 February 2022, wanted to understand why accruals increased so drastically. Chairperson of the board indicated that the primary responsibility for irregular expenditure was the absence of oversight, which resulted in non-compliance due to the absence of boards. He cited that HDA, which has been affected by the absence of governance and protocols, resulting in the culture of non-compliance that crept in. He stressed that they were clear in terms of adhering to public finance management treasury regulation, and that there was no ambiguity with respect to rules of procurement, and emphasized the need to emphasize oversight. He undertook to come back with comprehensive report process of subjecting those responsible for the failure to adhere to foregoing to disciplinary hearing, which were reported to currently underway. Clarity was sought on how the properties were evaluated. People needed to be educated on how properties were evaluated. Property valuers are regulated in terms of Property Valuer Act, which falls under the Department of Public Works. Valuation in terms of the Act was for the purpose of expropriation as well as rating of properties. Valuation of state properties for the purpose of buying and selling. It also indicates that it was not a statutory requirement to have property valuated in a private state. Therefore, the issue of property valuation was not within the mandate of CRAD. Highlighted the need for spatial transformation on the landscape, which should be prioritized so that apartheid spatial planning was not perpetuated. The committee inquired as to whether there were any engagement with provinces on spatial planning to transform the apartheid landscape. Engagements may ongoing, both municipalities and provinces. It was crucial on the issues of spatial planning, and reference was made in respect of new human settlements with priority development areas. It was stressed that consultation with these two spheres of government was critical, as the department continues to imagine including development. The committee was also informed of a unit responsible for spatial planning and transformation, which undertakes mapping to ensure that projects initiated fall within the priority development area area, and that contract management have to create value prior to receipt of funding. With regards to the NDT not issuing certificates, why there were no transitional arrangements that are contained in the regulatory provision of PRA, On the issue of litigation involving the voters, the matter has been brought to the attention of the board, and that the matter on the agency application has been withdrawn. It was reported that the voter and had presented communication that was deemed to be irregular, and that there has not been any further communication from the voter. What legislative laws allowed for the phasing in approach? The committee welcomed the minister's undertaking to come back and report to the committee on the outcomes of the investigation currently underway. Any particular reason for department to place adverts on the mainstream media? In terms of legislation, it is required for the department to only place adverts on two of the national newspapers, the City Press and the Sunday Times. In terms of when the Act establishing the CRA was passed, it was then not supposed to be a budget attached to the fund, attached to fund the process of transformation. In terms of CRA budget, the entity was not given any additional allocation. In terms of Chapter 6, Section 32 of the Act, which covers the funding of the authority to be appropriated to the Parliament, because the entity has to be assisted in appropriation by Parliament. Focus of
CRA
is more important in the same case, yet the rest of the provinces also do require to be empowered to spread it. The entity to spread what is to be done to ensure other provinces also benefit from the activities of CRA. The committee welcomed the report that the Housing Development Agency had dealt with 17 out of 28 audit findings. However, the committee wanted to know as to how far the entity was with the implementation of consequence management. Consequence management was reported to be currently underway, and report was to be finished in this regard. In responding to some of the additional issues, the chairperson of the HDA board indicated that the minister's decision, decisive action taken in regard to the entity was welcomed and reported, but investigation into Dalarna TROs was heard by court on 23 March 2022, but was postponed to 19 April 2022. He also reported that there were three staff members implicated and that eight others were subpoenaed to appear in court in order to give evidence as witness. The chairperson stated that it will only be possible to provide an update once the matter has gone through the court processes scheduled for 19 April 2022. On the issue of non-adherence to pay scale at the HDA, it was explained that pay scale were to be reviewed once the CEO has been appointed. It was also explained that the department would like the Housing Development Agency to focus on its primary mandate, which is land spending and human settlements development. It was stated that entities' financing model was that of the implementing agent for both municipalities and provinces. However, there seems to be moral hazard in the execution of the second mandate, namely that of implementing agents of choice, and hence currently the second mandate was being operationalized instead of the primary mandate. With regard to correspondence that had been sent to Mr. N. Cheney during his tenure as the Housing Development Agency, in terms of Section 65 of PFMA, the member concerned was advised to write and send a similar letter to the HA board, and that it will be responded to. With regard to the issue of consequence management at the HDA, the establishment of condonation committee sought to deal with consequence management. It also reported that it is now the ongoing practice to put internal controls in place as well as to ensure compliance with prescripts. In this regard, supply chain management has recently been revised and aligned with the National Treasury prescripts and applicable legislation. Furthermore, having the NDTC to present the recurrence of voting findings on the issue of procurement contracts that were under 500,000 flagged by then. The NDT indicated that it was not aware of the assertion and invited the member who had raised the matter to provide the NDT with more evidence, as the NDT had not come across such. Ms. P. Chuete, Deputy Minister, extended a word of apology to the committee following heated exchange between Honorable Power and Ms. Mustala, CEO of CRAS. The committee considered the minutes of 12:23 and 2 March. And on the minutes of 12 March, they were adopted, and the Democratic Alliance objects the adoption of the minutes. And of the 23 March, also the Democratic Alliance objected adoption of the minutes, and the minutes of 2 March were adopted. Resolutions based on the presentation by the Department of Human Settlements and Housing Development Agents, Property Practitioners Authority, was recommended that the department should, and Housing Development Agents should brief the committee on the outcomes of investigations of the learning. TR was in report for the meeting agenda 1. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Emma, and welcome back.
Thanks, Chair. Can I proceed?
Yes.
Morning, colleagues. Chairperson, if we can just scroll up to the what Khalees was written in bold about the minister, the deputy minister extending a word of apology. Can that please be changed to a word of apology for the conduct of the CEO? Because that was what the deputy minister apologized for, and that's not clear in these meetings. And then, Chair, you will recall that the reason that there had been a heated exchange was because the CEO of the PPRA, who has now been suspended and has lost her court action against the entity, had accused me as a member of parliament of having a conflict of interest. Whilst Collie has been reading the minutes, I've gone to the parliamentary monitoring group that has a verbatim written minutes that have transcription of the meeting. And I had asked you, Chairperson, that it be minuted that your objection to the CEO's aspersions that had been cast on me as a member of the committee, I had asked at the time that it be minuted, and that you had agreed at the time. Is it possible that we can include something about your rebuke or your comments in regards to those aspersions that were cast on me as a member of parliament, because it was agreed to during the verbal meeting? So those are my two requests in a nutshell, that this bold here on page 12 be elaborated, that the deputy minister extended a word of apology to the committee in regards to the conduct of the CEO following a heated exchange between Honourable Powell and Ms. Mushlala, and that it be minuted somewhere in the meetings that aspersions have been cast on a member of the committee that had been dismissed by the committee chairperson. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Honourable Powell, I remember that. I've even intervened to say that if there is any issue that affects any member of parliament, there is a process that needs to be followed. No one should be allowed to, because we don't know of those issues that the CEO was raising on the member. I agree that I didn't pick it up on the minutes, but I thought it was because I said if you suggest that it should be on the minutes, it's fine. But I just thought Cote d'Ivoire has not put it because I said he must actually withdraw that. And if he wants to raise anything, he must be invited. So, but it was supposed to be written that after the CEO has cast suspicion on the member, the chair has indicated that he withdraws. And yeah, I agree with you. So with that addition, can we then get the adoption of the minutes? I see the other hand. Honorable Howard?
Sorry, Jake, I'm off hand. Let me take it down.
Okay. Can we get the mover for the adoption of the minutes with that addition? That's put by Honorable Powell. Honorable member, I'm asking.
Chair.
Yes, Honorable Seki.
Though I missed a little bit, but I hope it's a good thing. I move, Chair.
Honorable Seki moves. Can you get second? Honorable members, we don't have enough time.
Second.
Honorable Malachi, second. Honorable members of opposition, you are part of the meeting, and if you don't just keep quiet. This is our meeting, all of us. This is our minute. And one move from one side and say, can we then have the minutes of the of the report the minutes of the threat plan and APPs.
Chairperson, you
yes.
Have those 3 minutes. I must go back and put the responses.
But put them on the you cannot withdraw outside the meeting. Put them in the system and then we'll take them back.
Can you see them, Chen?
No. It's just the members, this is the minutes of the 20th April we're dealing with the APP and the revised threat plan and APP. Go through them, Kolisa.
Okay, Chair. So the minutes of 20th of April, the APP of the department. Opening and remarks, apologies, consideration of agenda. Briefing by the minister. Opening remarks by the minister. Ms. Kubai, the Minister of Human Settlements, led the delegation and she made opening remarks to inform the committee that she was in KZN intervening on the disaster where 4,000 houses or homes have been destroyed completely. Communities were displaced, some were accommodated in halls and others in families. She also mentioned that there was a team that was sent to the Western Cape to assist those who were ravaged by fires in the informal settlements of Joslo Kopalanga. With regards to the annual performance plan, she indicated that the human settlement has to respond to changes and challenges of the climate change, issues of illegal occupation of land needed to be discouraged, as most of the sheds were built in the wetland and river bank. She called for national priorities to deal with eradication of mud houses, removal of asbestos roof block projects, the digitalization of beneficiary lists. She further committed to stabilize human settlement entities. Boards have been appointed and appointments of chief executive officers of National Home Builders Association Council and National Housing Finance Corporation would be fast-tracked. The director general led the departmental delegation. He presented on the annual performance plan. He stated that treasury regulation provides for the basis of development and submission of strategic plans and related quarterly performance reporting on the revised framework of strategic plans and annual performance plans requires institutional to institutionalized planning, budget reporting, monitoring and evaluation, and align the planning processes and all the planning documents, strategic plans, annual performance plans, and annual operation plans with the medium-term strategic framework. Describe outputs that are their direct responsibility in the list of programs. And the implementation agents will be reflected in annexure to the APP. The medium strategic framework outcome partial transformation through multi-program integration in priority development areas, adequate housing and improved quality living environment and secure of tenure, deliberations and comments and questions. The portfolio committee welcomes the briefing by the Department of Human Settlements. They raised the following issues relating to the presentation, which include clarity, seeking questions, concerns, and comments. The members raised the issues of mud houses and asbestos roofs and proposed that this should be part of the policy formulation. The members further requested for clear targets on mud houses to be rectified. The members welcomed an appointment and appreciated the pronouncement of the basis of the beneficiary list, stating that this would bring about transparency that has been a challenge for many years. The department was asked to prioritize elderly people living with disabilities and child-headed families. Members sought clarity on the difference between the intergovernmental relations and district development model. The members were concerned about the illegal sale and occupation of government houses. The members were concerned about informal settlements that were often built in river banks and floodplains, which exposes people to floods, and the department was urged to fast-track the upgrading of informal settlements in order to provide people with decent shelters. The members appreciated the program to prioritize the unblocking of blocked projects, and they expected the department and the provinces to provide number of projects to be unblocked in this financial year. This would assist the committee in monitoring this plan and progress. The members were concerned about the declaration of priority areas. In the previous strategic plan, it was presented that the department was going to focus on 136 priority areas, and in this financial year, only 94 that were mentioned. A clarity was sought on what happened to others. Detailed information will be contained in the committee's report on budget for 33. The meeting adjourned at 1.
Have we had the, any issues on the minutes, members? Can we get the Honorable Mofuthu?
Thank you, Chairperson. I raised a concern with regard to the unblocking of blocked projects. I actually wanted to know if this unblocking of block project was also going to include houses that were built since the 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, you know, which were left unattended to by the service providers, and also stated that there was no consequence management with regard to those projects that were left unattended. So I wanted to know if also those projects were going to be unblocked, those unfinished RDP houses, which we see, for example, around Northwest, you know, are those houses also going to be unblocked and be completed? I even cited examples of houses in Dr. KK and also in Moses Kotane. Thank you very much. There's no mention of this point or these facts in our minutes.
Honorable Sukai.
Chair, I'm not too aware Honorable Mukot is raising. As I see all these minutes as they were presented, I have got two names. There's an N that is always underlined in red. Is that a protest or a query? Why that N is always underlined in red? Those are my names. What is it saying? So that I correct it, Chair.
Okay.
All the minutes of that N.
Yeah. Okay. Honorable Mokoto, what you are raising, that's what I was discussing with the secretary of the committee, that there are a lot of things that are not appear on the minutes. That's why I said I think the meeting must agree that the minutes must go back, and then, because even the response of the department does not appear, and then the minutes will come back in the later stage. If members agree, because there are a lot of things that members have discussed and I have not included on the minutes.
The Chair.
Agree? Yes, Honorable. Yes, Honorable Sky.
I would not have a problem with the minutes going back, but what I want us not to make an error to has what Honorable Mokoto raised in the meeting, has this blocked project issue unpacked where and how? Because I'm scared of doctoring the minutes on a matter. He's raising a very important question. But is that clarity for these minutes, has it been said in the minutes, in the meeting, for these minutes to be stated?
Yeah, but Honorable Sky, what has been happening is that members will ask clarity seeking questions, and then we'll have the response of the department, which becomes part of our minutes. And you remember that in most instances when we deal with the report in particular, we then say that some of the issues, if the issue has been raised, needed to be elevated towards become a recommendation within the report. There will be as an observation of the committee and highlighted into the report. But I'm saying the minutes themselves, as we're looking at them, they've not, they've excluded one of the So which I'm requesting that the meeting allow them to take them, so allow Polisa to go and populate all the information. Because as we are explaining, in every meeting we're trying to explain around, we've not put this matter because we felt it was important and was captured in the report. As like the issue that Honorable Mokala is raising was elevated into the report as one of the reasons, because it was not her own alone which raised that matter. So, but for the purpose of recording of the minutes, members actually said, let the minutes reflect what members discussed. And that's why I'm saying, let's go back and put those issues as members raised. But the report has tried to elevate some of the issues that members have raised. As previously we've been doing, but members have at some point said we needed what was the deliberation in the meeting recorded as the minutes. So can we agree, honorable members?
Yes, Chairperson. As Baba said, in that meeting of the 20th, we have a question, but there is no answer about those questions. So, the question Mama put us and I have been not even in that meeting. So,
Thank you. Honorable Masuta.
Thank you, Chair. I'm being kicked out for the better part of the meeting by the network, so I missed quite a bit. But I just wanted to raise a point as we're talking about the minutes, that there's a distinction between a record of a meeting or discussion, a set of minutes that arises out of such a meeting, and a report that is adopted as a consequence of the one or more meetings, including other things that may have taken place that may not necessarily arisen in a meeting, but nonetheless are relevant to complete a report. So it's a question of what standards do you want to maintain, and what is the norm what is the institutional norm, all right? Because different institutions would adopt different approaches to how minutes are compiled. You either reproduce the record as it is, where every single word that was said in that meeting is reproduced. You could end up with minutes that go into hundreds of pages. But having said that, Chair, I think that whichever approach and whichever standard you adopt, the minimum should be that critical issues, such as issues that have been raised that need attention, and any undertakings to rectify that in relation to, or that are directly related to the work at hand, those should at least be the bare minimum that should reflect in the minutes. As to who said what and who responded to what, it's a question of style and standards that you want to set in crafting, your minutes. It's a form of art, like anything else in life. that would be my suggestion. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Masuta. There was a proposal that yes, the minutes should be taken back, which Honourable Tassin was seconding what I've said. The minutes will be taken back for better populated those issues that my for those answers and what members have raised, and because I didn't want them to draw them outside the meeting, because to avoid any lot of issues around things that would not take us forward as a committee. So, and the second minute. Again, and they have got the same thing. Would then be able to allow Colisa just to flag them, and then we do the same, and then so that we go into the report. Colisa.
To make one last point.
Yes, Honorable Masuta.
Hello, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Masuta. Yes, you're welcome.
Am I lost again?
Yes. No, no, you're not. We can hear you.
Looks like we're not.
We can hear you. We've lost Honorable Masuta. Colisa, proceed.
Hello, Chairperson. Must I read again this one? Or must I just
go to the deliberations? Just scroll them down.
Can you see?
Yes, you can see.
Okay.
So they don't have those deliberations. Honorable members, can we agree that they must go back to without even wasting time of reading them?
Seconded, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The last one. We can hear you, Honorable Mokoto. So those are the other minutes of the 21st. Down. Yeah, the same thing with this minute. There is no deliberation input. Can we take them back to?
Agreed.
Thank you. We'll then invite Sabelo to take us through the report. I see members where the network is a problem, and we're losing a lot of members. They are going in and out. You'll forgive us, it's not our making. Sabelo?
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Honorable Members. Please also note that I'm struggling with load shedding here. I've used my cell phone as a hotspot network, and it might be giving me problems, but I'm gonna try to take you through the report as quickly as possible. So, honourable members, this is basically the budget vote report on the revised strat plan and APP. And the report is outlined as follows: the introduction. Basically, the introduction covers the constitutional mandate of the department, which is to provide housing or human settlements, and it must use all the resources that are available to make sure that this constitutional mandate is realized. And also, the constitution provides for a creative framework on the institutional arrangements on the human settlement development. With regards to the policy imperatives and the overarching policy is the National Development Plan, which focuses on the trajectory that anticipates that in 2050 human settlements will be equitable and efficient spaces that encourage access to social facilities and important infrastructure. And then it goes to the specifics on what are the guides, for instance, that human policies or human settlements must systematically respond to special parties across South Africa, and several strategic interventions or projects are required in order to transform this special space. And also there's a need to balance social equity, economic competitiveness, and the issues of the environment, and the issue of ensuring or extending personal freedom by making sure that the housing choice is widened. And lastly, to ensure support of individuals and communities and the private sector in the implementation of this strategic intervention. With regards to the medium-term strategic framework, it looks at the achievement of special transformation, and this special transformation will be achieved by the following: the national framework and guidelines toward coordinated, integrated, and cohesive national social development, the regional level intervention to unlock opportunity, ensure redress and respond to environmental risk and vulnerabilities, interventions to ensure integrated service delivery and transformation in all spaces. So there are specific things that the human settlement sector should do. First, number one is specially transformed through multi-program integration into priority development areas. And secondly, adequate housing and improved quality living environments. And the last one is security of change. So in order to be able to do a proper analysis of the department's performance, the section deals with that basically, that from 1994 to today, the department has been able to provide about 3.4 million housing units, and these are in different housing typologies, such as multi-story housing development and other housing interventions. And also, it is worth noting that the department is in the process of ensuring that they use funds or money allocated to them to improve efficiency and ensure that they achieve all their targets. 2.4, the State of the Nation address, there are specific things that the President alluded to. The first is the infrastructure fund, which is a 96 billion that will seek to deal with student accommodation, social housing, and telecommunication, water and sanitation, and transport. Also indicated that the number of catalytic projects, which are worth 21 billion, and also there will be contribution from government and contribution from the private sector. The last point that he made was that there are about 14,000 hectares of land that have been identified by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, which will be transferred to the Housing Development Agency to ensure that the above objectives are achieved. With regards to the budget analysis, so the department was allocated 1.34 billion, and program number two received the largest of the allocation out of all the programs, and program number three experienced a real decrease. And, yes, Chairperson.
You said 1 billion. Department was allocated 1 billion.
My apologies, Chairperson. The overall budget allocation increased by 1.34 billion from 31.67 billion in the year 2021 to 2022 to 33.02 billion in year 2022-2023. So the biggest real decrease was experienced in program number five, which received an increase of 2 million from 588.8 million in 2021-22 to 590.8 million in 2022-23. With regards to the revised MTSF targets, number one is the special transformation through multi-program integration in priority development areas. The special transformation through development program priority development areas and 100% of acquired land during 2014 to 2019 filling within priority PDA rezoned. Secondly, with regards to adequate housing and improved quality living environment, 3,000 BNG housing will be delivered, and 20,000 houses that receive financial assistance and purchased units through the financed linked individual subsidy program. Also, with regards to adequate housing and improved quality living environments, there will be 300,000 service sites delivered, 18,000 rental housing units delivered within PDAs, and 5,000 community residential units, and 1,500 informal settlements upgraded into phase three. With regards to security of Kenya, about 1.2 million target date will be registered. With regards to targets, program number one, which is administration, is targeting 100% implementation of the HR implementation plan, also 100% of the ICT plan, 100% of the communication plan, and it's also targeting the unqualified audit opinion with no material findings. The human settlements grant framework, the age quarterly assessment conducted on human settlement grants. This is the USDG and the HSDG. 8 quarterly financial performance analysis is also targeted to be done. Program number 2 is targeting to have 2 analysis reports completed per year on integrated implementation program for priority development areas. 2 analysis reports completed on the total human settlement allocation in PDAs. 2 analysis reports completed on the land acquired during 2014 to 2019 within PDA's result, and 2023-24 national human settlement development developed, 3 research reports completed, and 9 policy developed, 4 reports on entities performance monitored, 4 monitoring report on the set aside for designated groups for also monitored, 4 reports on project monitored as per approved business plan, and 4 reports on blocked project monitored, 4 reports on the monitoring of MTSF sector indicators, and evaluation studies in the operational capacity program monitored, 1 design and implementation for IOPG evaluation study completed, and 4 reports on intergovernmental relation program implemented. With regards to program number 3, which is informal settlement program and emergency housing, it is looking to provide support to 9 provinces and 8 metros in the upgrading of informal settlements to phase 3 of UISP. Program number 4, which is the rental and social housing program, is looking to develop a national rental housing plan. Program number 5, which is affordable housing, is 6 affordable housing program agreements for mining communities developed, and 4 quarterly reports on the title deeds registered, and national working program plan developed, and 4 quarterly reports on the number of jobs created. With regards to human settlements entity, the National Home Builders Registration Council, the council's expenditure was expected to increase at an average annual rate of 3.7% from 855.1 million in 2021-22 to 954.4 million in 2024-25 financial year. It generates revenue through fees charged for enrollment, registration, renewal, and technical services. Revenue was expected to increase at an average of annual rate of 4.2% from 1.5 billion in 2021-22 to 1.6 billion in 2024-25, and the following are the targets by each program. The administration, which is program number 1, targets the unqualified audit opinion with no material findings, the 100% implementation of the following: the internal audit plan, the anti-corruption and the anti-fraud and corruption plan, the risk management plan, and 10% savings on budget expenditure, and also 100% of communication plans, 40% of annual procurement percent procurement spent on women, 20% of annual procurement spent on youth, and 5% spent on people with disabilities. Program number two, which is regulation, it targets 2,920 home builders to be registered and 13,910 registration renewed, and 100% of home inspections, and 100% of home inspection in both the non-subsidy and the subsidy space, and then 100% of prosecutable matters suspended within 10 working days, and 100% prosecutable matters set down for hearing before the DC within 30 days. Also target 2,000 home builders to be trained, and 1,600 youth trained, 1,800 women trained, 150 military veterans trained, 200 people with disability trained, and 700 technical professionals trained, 600 artisans trained. Program number three, which is consumer protection, targets 100% of enrollment of application approved, and also 100% subsidy project and enrollment applications approved, and 100% of enrollment application approved for non-subsidy. In addition, the target or the outcome on greenhouse gas emission is the construction of the green zero energy based model house. The Housing Development Agency, which is the second entity, the expenditure was set to increase from 579.7 million in 2021-22 to 544.4 million in 2024-25, and this represented an average increase of 0.3%. With regards to their targets, program number one, which is administration, the targets to have an unqualified audit outcomes with no material findings, and 40% of annual procurement target for business owned by women, and also 20% procurement for people owned by youth, and the 5% of procurement be targeted at business owned by people with disabilities. The 5% will be targeted at military veterans businesses, and they target the 100% implementation of approved internal audits, also 100% of the anti-fraud and corruption plan, and 100% implementation of the approved risk management plan. Program number two, which is land assembly and PDA, it targets to have 40 integrated implementation programs for PDAs completed per year, and 1,500 hectares of well-located land acquired within PDAs, and 50% of that land, 50% of the 1.7 hectares of land acquired, and 750 of hectares of well-located land released for human settlements development. Program number three, which is program planning, design and the regional coordination of human settlement implementation support service targets to have 200 informal settlements supported for upgrading to phase 3 of UIST, 2 informal settlements assisted with relocation and emergency interventions, and 50 priority projects provided with implementation support, 6 provinces provided with program planning and implementation support for the revitalization of stressed mining towns, and 3,428 of housing units delivered by the HDA, 4,517 service sites delivered by HDA, 73 human settlements projects managed by HDA, 1,000 asbestos roofs replaced by the HDA, and 5 HDA bankable plans, business plans approved for projects. And lastly, 1,740 title deeds registered. With regards to the third entity, which is the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, the expenditure was expected to increase from 857.6 million in 21-22 to 964.1 million in 24-25. This represented an average annual rate of 4%. With regards to the target, program number one, the targeting 100% on the following: the internal audit service, the anti-fraud and corruption plan, the risk management, and the implementation of the rental boycott strategy, and also 40% of SRA procurement set for women. The procurement for youth would be 20%, and the procurement for people with disabilities would be 5%. Program number two, which is compliance, accreditation, and regulations, targets to have 65 of reporting delivery agents achieving a minimum of 3 performance benchmarks, 5 of conditional accredited SHIs with project registered on the pipeline, and 3,500 of subsidized housing units tenancy audits conducted, and 30 of subsidized housing projects safety and security audit conducted, 40% of new project accreditation applicants that are majority owned by the designated groups. Program number three, which is sector development and transformation, targets 75% achievement of the SHI intervention plan, 70% achievement of the social housing project intervention plan, 3 projects within municipalities receiving support that are approved, 10 youth graduates placed within social housing sector, and 40% of institutional investment grant recipients that are from the designated groups. Program number four, which is project development and funding, targets to have 3,000 of social housing units completed, 3,529 of social housing units tenanted, and 95% expenditure on approved annual consolidated capital grant cash flow projection. 70% of the consolidated capital grant awarded to BEC, majority owned enterprises, 40% of construction spend to enterprises that are majority owned by women, and also 20% of construction enterprises that are owned by youth, and also 5% targeted to people living with disabilities. It also targets 6,646 jobs created through project implementation. The fourth entity, which is National Housing Finance Corporation, spending was set to increase at an average annual rate of 16.7 from 687.5 million in 2022 to 1.1 billion in 2024-25, primarily as a result of disbursement toward strategic project and fleet subsidies. And with regards to program targets, program number one, which is administration, the target to have an unqualified audit opinion with no material findings, and they target the 100% on the following: annual internal audit plan, approved risk management plan, and 40% of procurement budget spent on women, and also the procurement spent of 20% on youth, and 5% on military veterans. Program number two, which is Integrated Human Settlements Planning and Development Program, they target 7 million contributed to specific partnerships and 15 million leveraged from NHSC strategic partnerships, and 6 IRDP project level structuring collaborated, and 150 million dispersed to Black owned business and managed on managed program. Program number three, which is affordable housing program, they target to have 4,780 of subsidy applications approved, 474 fleets granted, and 359 fleets grants dispersed. 3,824 subsidies dispensed, and 1.9 million leveraged from financial institutions, and 476 million dispersed to designated groups, 357 million dispersed to triple B compliant companies, and 357 million dispersed to Black owned entities. The next entity, which is the Community Scheme Ombud Service, the entity was expected to break even in each year over the MTSF period. The expenditure was set to increase at an average annual rate of 2.5 from 300.8 million in 21-22 to 323.9 million in 24-25. With regards to targets, program number one, which is administration, wanted to target the 100% on the following: the anti-fraud and corruption implementation plan, the risk management plan, the internal audit plan, and the approved HR plan, and also the two core business automation solutions phases implemented. upgrade on Sage ERP solution completed, electronic content and document management system configuration completed, two new transitional sites established, and the procurement plan, the target, 40% on women businesses, 20% on youth businesses, and 5% on businesses owned by people with disabilities. Program number two, governance, compliance, and enforcement. Targets that the 263 million of CISOs levy collected, and then it targets 100% on the registration of community schemes that have submitted schemes registration documents, 60% of registered schemes compliant, database on scheme governance documents established, 95% quality assured scheme governance documentation, and 100% compliance certificates issued on all amended scheme documents, 100% of disputes assessed within 30 days, and 85% of disputes conciliated within 90 days. 85% of disputes adjudicated within 90 days, and 100% of adjudication order quality assured within 7 days. Program number three, which is education and training, targets 1880 training education sessions conducted for schemes, executives, and owners.
Mm-hmm.
And then 12 training sessions. Okay, then 12 training sessions conducted for adjudicators and conciliators, 12 stakeholder information sessions conducted, 100% implementation of marketing and communication plans, and 25 previously disadvantaged individuals trained as executive managing agents, 80% of community schemes request for executive management agent awarded to previously disadvantaged individuals. The sixth entity, which is Property Practitioners Regulatory Authority, the expenditure was expected to increase from 168.7 million in 2021-22 to 181.6 million in 2024-25. And their target program number one, which is administration, they target to have an unqualified unqualified audit opinion with no material findings. And they target to have 100% on the following: internal audit plan, the risk management plan, fraud prevention plan, and they target to have procurement budget spent on 40% for women, 20% for enterprises owned by youth, and 5% enterprises owned by people with disabilities, and 80% implementation of the approved human resource plan, and 100% allowed fees collected, and 70% implementation of PPRA stakeholder management plan. 80% of consumer inquiries are resolved within 90 days. With regards to program number two, which is licensing and compliance, my target is to have 9,000 property practitioners registered on the database of PRA, and 100% of all complaint new registration processed within 30 days. Program number three, which is inspection and enforcement, targets to have 4 quarterly inspection guidelines issued and 75% of completed investigations that result in disciplinary hearings and 100% of disciplinary outcomes enforced. Program number four, which is research, professionalization and training, targets to have 50% increase of property practitioners who are registered for CPD and have met CPD requirements in full, and 100% implementation of skills development plan, implement the research agenda, and 2,000 candidate practitioners placed in a property industry host employees through the One Learner, One Practitioners program. 70% retention rate of youth candidate practitioners in the One Learner, One program, One Property. Program number five, which is transformation, it targets to have property sector transformation field established. 300 full status black owned supported through the implementation of principalization program. 25 SMEs owned by historically disadvantaged groups placed through the incubation program. And the following section deals with the observations and the recommendations made by the committee. With regards to 7.1, the committee welcomed MINMEC prioritization of the 3-year plan to unblock blocked projects, elimination of asbestos roofs, eradication of mud houses, and eradication of the housing backlog around the country. However, the committee was concerned that there were no indicators, budget, and time frame linked to these priorities. Recommendation: within 3 months of the adoption of this report, the department should develop an action plan to deal with the mentioned priorities and report to the committee in 3 months. The 3-year plan to unblock blocked project should have or indicate specific deliverables each year. Furthermore, there must be a budget and timeframes to develop the plans. The committee, 7.2, the committee welcomed the work being done around the digitalization of the housing beneficiary list. This was because digitalization would ensure transparency and accountability. However, the committee was concerned that the process was slow. There was still a lack of well-consolidated beneficiary list, which was traumatizing people, including the owners of houses and family members who had been waiting for a house, but those names had disappeared from the list. Recommendation: fast track the digitalization process of housing beneficiary list, prevent interference with the list through transparency and accountability. The department must present the process in 6 months. Seven point three, the committee welcomed the procurement set aside to ensure transformation by the department and entities. This set aside includes 40% for women, 20% for youth, 5% for people living with disabilities. However, the committee wanted a detailed presentation on how the procurement plan would be monitored. Recommendation: present an action plan on quarterly basis outlining how the procurement plan will be monitored. 7.4, the committee welcomed intergovernmental initiatives between the department and other sister departments to ensure single plans that result in sustainable and integrated human settlements. However, much can be done to ensure the alignment of the district development model. Recommendation: ensure the alignment of the departmental plan with the district development model. The department should report to the committee on progress made in 3 months. 7.5, the committee welcomed the initiative to fill the CEO and the CFO position by the HDA. This would ensure stability and continuity within the entity. However, the committee was concerned that progress was taking too long. Recommendation: fast track and finalize the filling of CEO and CFO position within the HDA and report to the committee within 3 months. 7.6, the committee was concerned that SHRA was not visible in the townships in the provision of social housing. Recommendation: SHRA should ramp up its visibility in townships. 7.7, the committee observed that SHRA's norms and standards of the social housing units were not uniform. There was a difference in interpretation of these norms and standards in different provinces. Recommendation: SHRA should ensure that its norms and standards are uniformed to prevent different interpretations by provinces. 7.8, the committee was concerned that PRA did not have a CFO and internal auditors. Recommendation: PRA should fast track the filling of CFO and internal auditor position and report on quarterly basis to the committee on progress made. 7.9, the committee noted efforts by the department and entities to contribute towards job creation in the country. However, the committee felt that these initiatives must be closely monitored. Recommendation: the department, working in collaboration with entities, should provide the community with information on how many jobs would be created. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thank you, Savelo, for the report, members. There is the report. Let me take hands that want to talk to the report. There's no hands. Can we then get the mover for the adoption of the report?
Sir, can I just indicate that I haven't been able to hear half of what has been happening in the meeting because of the network issues? But yeah, I think that I would nonetheless support the report.
Okay. Honorable Sofai and Honorable Peter Speke. Honorable Sofai.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this report. But I think the report it's a very good report, I don't want to lie. Which report attempts to analyze the government performance in terms of its strategic plan framework. and also raise areas of weaknesses on how government and department implement programs. It highlights lot of gaps, in particular on what we know, how are the challenges of housing. I think this presentation is taking us back on the public hearings that we had last week, those that have attended. If you can be able to measure the issues raised in the public hearing and what the presentation is saying to us, it then tells us how have we sort of our limitations as a department to deal with what the threat plan has indicated to us. And I think the issues raised here, we should be able to tally them when the report of the public hearing has been submitted to the department and be able to look on how best can we strengthen the areas where we are weak in terms of better quality, better results for our people not to cry on us. But the issues that they raise are the issues that are in this threat plan, which is giving a direction to us how we should consider giving better houses. I don't want to get too specific, but I think this threat planning is really emphasizing issues that have been raised by our people on how best can we get quality houses, how best can we transform the housing sector, how best can we ensure a clear special planning that is transformed? How best can we deal with the issues of our beneficiary list? I think this came at the right time when we are fresh from those issues raised by our people. Lastly, Chair, it's important that we sometimes we hit hard on the officials, and I think it's our responsibility. But I want to say the public hearings that we had, I have observed a huge commitment to the officials of the department. Although I don't know them, I don't know how many are they and who are they, but observing how they've been performing and how they've been focusing on the program, the commitment and their responsibility in dealing with the issues. So it's important to raise that, because sometimes we always hit hard on them, but where they've done something good, it's good to give appreciation where it is due. So those are the issues that I wanted to raise without getting too specific on the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Seki.
Chair, Sabela, can you go to 7.1? Chair, if you look at that 7.1, committee welcomes the MINMEC priorities. Why do we say MINMEC, Chair? Why are we not just saying priorities of the department? And Savelo, is that an observation or what? because Chair, for administration purposes, I was proposing that if that's correct, but I don't know, maybe the, in Parliament that's how you write reports. That 7.1, if it's an observation, must be written observation, and that is the recommendation. The next is the recommendation. 7.2, the same. All these must have its the word observation on them, so that it can be clear. But if it's how it's written, I'm fine with it. Chair, that was the only question I was asking there. And if you look at the recommendation, Chair, within 3 months of the adoption, I like the area that talks about action plan. You guys, that action plan service. Yeah, should develop an action plan to deal with, can you go up a little bit? Yeah, hello? Develop an action plan to deal with the mentioned priorities and report to the committee in 3 months. The 3-year plan to unblocking the blocked project should have indicate specific deliverables each year. Yeah, Chair, I'm happy with that. But I assume that action plan is not only for blocked project, but it's generally for the APP and the threat plan. Thank you, Chair. And then I second those Nancy.
Okay, Honorable Masuta, is your hand, legacy hand?
Sorry, Chair, for coming back after I've spoken earlier. But firstly, just to agree with the last speaker, Comrade Butters, that we need to have a standard and adhere to it in reporting.
Graduation. Yes. So, before now, with regards to what
I think we should proceed because we have lost Honorable Masuta. The report disability and child-headed families, they should make sure that provinces adhere to that, because as the
no problem, so
as we move around, go to oversight.
Okay, so I'm right, because then the system is here, and if it's not going to be it's fine, if not going to
who are saying, I've applied for the house for 10 years or 20, it's not coming through. And the department has came to us
that
they've prioritized that, and they should make sure that it gets implemented in all the provinces, so that we shouldn't go find elderly person of age of 60, child-headed family and disability people who qualifies to have the house, the
they don't get prioritized by the system. I think that's very much important.
Can me out in the middle even of my contribution.
Yes,
I was just finishing my point and the system kicked me out. I've been doing it throughout the morning. Just to say, in fact, even in agreement with what you're saying, to further add that I'm not sure whether this department is confident of the strength of its monitoring evaluation system, given the fact that it is not the one that delivers, and it delivers through an agency system where others have to do it for it. Maybe that's a discussion that we may want to flag for another day. But many of these problems, I used to believe all this time, such as people being jumped on the list, people waiting for 20, 30 years on the list, and others who came long after them, jumping them, to the issues that you've just raised now of prioritizing the vulnerable. And yet many vulnerable people complaining that they are not being prioritized. So I'm not sure, given my new ultimately there's one system nationally controlled wall to wall of the program, and that everybody else is just an agent, implementing agent, then the responsibility ultimately rests with the department. And the question is, how much capacity does the department have, not just resourcing the system, but actually ensuring that there is full compliance with the norms and standards that are nationally set? And just finally, Chair, the point I always raise is about the fact that this portfolio or this line function cannot succeed in fully executing its mandate on its own. It's highly dependent on the cooperation of other line functions, let alone stakeholders, such as the private sector. But line functions as in your land affairs, your water and sanitation, etc. And I'm not sure where we get to here the extent to which the department, beyond its own APP, beyond its own strat plan, has any mechanism within the general government system been strengthened where an integrated
Chairperson?
We have lost Honorable Masuta. I think Honorable Masuta is...
I'm just going to give up.
Can I propose? No. It's a problem of network. I think maybe we the administrators will request them to interact with the relevant people who are dealing with the service providers and then members where you are located, they can check whether there is what might be the problem, so that the issue gets resolved. If you remember, with regards to all the residential villages, there was the work that has been done by the service provider, because this issue of network, it's our life, it's a new normal. We have to, the service providers have to assist members to
I suspect that the problem is more the interruptive load shedding that affects different parts of the system or of the line, as one tries, because I'm in Manling, which theoretically
is... Honorable Masuta, with your case, every meetings you have the same problem where we don't hear you, we lost you and all those things. So I think it's important that I'll talk to the administrators to just to interact with yourself outside and even those that have the same problem, so that we can see whether the service providers cannot help some of you, as we have been helped at some point when we had some of those difficulties. So I'm going to suggest that your last input, you can write it on the chat. I think members can use the chat to communicate if the network is bad.
No, I had actually almost completed the point, Chair.
Okay.
With just to say that I look forward to a process where we can see how the department is able to co-plan and co-budget with other line functions in such a way that it's a relay process across line functions in addressing some of the blockages and challenges that we are confronted, as well as integrated planning. That was essentially the last point I was trying to bring across, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Masuta. I think Sabelo, the issue of the strengthening of the monitoring capacity, and then the second one, it is covered through the, who are saying that the plan should be aligned to DDM, which is in all the departments and all municipalities are supposed to consolidate their plan into one in a district. So I think can I get the Honorable Power?
Thanks, Chair. I've got load shedding starting at 12 and there is no network in my area at all when there's load shedding, so please just note that I will fall off the committee in 9 minutes. Chair, unfortunately I've had COVID for 2 weeks, so I, as you know, didn't attend the meeting, the meetings where these reports were presented, but I've obviously gone through the reports myself as well as the analysis that's been provided to us. Chair, the recommendations are very weak in my...
She's also lost.
Can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, cool. The recommendations are very weak. This is a critical frontline service delivery department, and a lot of the entities of this department have been imbued in very serious irregularity, as evidenced via fruitless and wasteful expenditure, regular expenditure, the rotation of officials, the suspension of officials, etc. This committee still hasn't, in the 2.5 years that we've been sitting, received one single Section 65 PFMA report that details to Parliament, as is required in law, the consequence management that has resulted from any of the AG's findings for separate discussion. But we know that year after year we see AG reports in relation to the budget. In my view, these recommendations need to be the critical issue of title deeds and what this committee's recommendation in regards to to title deeds is. We need a recommendation in regards to the expenditure around the emergency housing grant. When we had the Q2 and Q3 reports, we noted that only 1 and 2% respectively had been spent at a municipal, 1 and 2% had been spent at a municipal and provincial level. Then, Chairperson, our committee, I mean, it is really the very most basic primary constitutional obligation of this committee to monitor consequence management around fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we need an indicator that speaks to what the committee's recommendations are in terms of curbing and curtailing this, as well as how officials will be dealt with. And then lastly, the analysis that we were sent by the parliamentary researchers spoke about the APP targets and indicators. Now, every year when the quarterly reports are presented to us, there are these same targets, and I know it's not just something that happens with national government, it's an issue at all levels of government, but where directors set their targets and their SDVIPs and their KPIs in a way that makes it very elusive for them to be tracked and monitored. So they're not, for example, they'll say things like provide support with the upgrading of what kind of support. So in the analysis that we'd been spent, it had been noted that the APP targets and indicators needed strengthening in terms of how we as a parliamentary committee and those charged with oversight like the AG can track them.
Honorable Powers. We have interacted with the department. That's why in this report we say there should be an action plan, which detailing those issues that are not, because if you check the APP, page 130 and 131, they are target and indicators. And then as we are dealing with interacting with the report, we then said in areas that there is no specified indicators, the department should come back 3 months with an action plan.
Yeah, so I think if you are going to be explaining your own plan
at the time of presentation,
maybe an issue can bring more material in terms of presentation.
That
like,
most of the
importers
are provinces and therefore, as long as we don't have
it's only one thing. I mean, it's a big one. It's a career expo day. So different institutions, I'm approaching different institutions. So,
Honorable
coming,
Powell, when the chair was saying they are planning to
outcome
through their monitoring the action plan and blah blah, and we then said I even remember myself saying
chair,
is it not exaggerating? Are you not exaggerating your capacity
within 5 years
that you'd be able to deal with the problem of HDA. Honorable Seki raised the same thing. We've dealt with all those issues. Unfortunately,
like what you did.
Honorable member, because of course you're not part of the meeting, you might think that we have not dealt with the matters. The action plan is going to respond to.
Okay. Naturally, in your understanding, does that involve any maybe call?
The AP, the indicators that are not tied up, and we said that
Please do, and then also if it's free, then just ask her what are the steps or the protocol to do it, like who do we contact, yeah, just find out also yes.
Said how many?
No, thank you so much.
Are those and you cannot just throw the priority, they need, we need that. So in province A, there is the 100 mud houses, and this is how we're going to deal with within this financial year, or whether it will be a 3-year program, as we did with the block project. We have interacted with the department, Honorable Power, and unfortunately, and the issues that and now we're dealing with the plan, and we're not dealing with the first quarter or the second, the report back from the department how they implemented the plan. We are focusing on the plan.
Okay, I just need to just quickly interject. I think I've got about a minute. Cape Town tends to turn off the electricity timelessly. Please, I don't have time to engage on this because of load shedding, but please will you note the objection of the Democratic Alliance to this report in writing?
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Howell. Honorable Tuffin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Since you are coming in the public I'm going to go to the family.
Captured. We said that the department came to us and said one of the things that they've done was to agree with the implementing agencies, provinces, entities, and municipalities that elderly people above 60 should be prioritized and child-headed families and disabilities is part of that. So you are correct, but it has been covered. Honorable Zeki?
Mama?
Your hands are still up.
No. Sorello.
Okay, all right, thank you. The report has been adopted. We'll note the objection of
Chairperson
of the GA. Honorable Mafotu.
Please note the objection of EFF. Thank you.
We note the objection of the EFF. Thank you very
EFF
much.
EFF was just waiting for objection. You could have objected before we speak. They are waiting for all of us to sweat. Thereafter, you object. Hey.
And wait for the objection of the DA.
Honorable Zeki and Honorable Supply, your address order to the meeting. Thank you very much. Those objectives have been noted. The before we close, honorable members, the meeting, we had requested the approval from the chair of chairs to visit KZN to look at the damage and how the department is intervening. We are still awaiting for the response from the chair of chairs, though we received a little brief from the minister. We thought as we could go into KZN and seeing what has happened to the area, interacting with the department and how they are intervening would be very helpful. But we are not sure. We're just waiting for the response of the chair of chairs, particularly because there was a debate around the issues of the flood, of the disaster, in the house, and the houses has to establish ad hoc committee. Well, I'm not sure whether that our request is blocked by that or what, but as the chair, I still feel that as a committee, we have a responsibility to go into cases in ourselves, Eastern Cape and part of that Northwest, and see how is the Department of Human Settlement and their provinces and HDA are reporting to the intervention, because the briefing would not be enough for us as a portfolio committee. So that is just a brief, honorable members. We will interact with yourselves if there is an approval. If there is not, we'll report to you as we go into the next meeting, or because we'll be meeting.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
We'll brief.
Thanks. My name is Masu Tembe, and I'm calling from SAEP, South African Education Project. Ma'am,
I received some contact to me. I must be on the flight tomorrow at 6 to KZN. No one phoned me. I just saw this thing, or maybe they mistaken it. It was sent to Seke, but I tried to talk to her. She's not aware.
My name is Masu Tembe from SAEP, South African Education Project.
Thank you very much, honorable members. If there is nothing, I see there is another hand. Honorable Chaffin.
Yes, so I think we once had a visitor from your institution.
Honorable Chaffin.
So we're planning on inviting you guys again, if it's possible, or even if it means by forms of maybe some materials, if no one can come to present the institution, just to display, or maybe give some pamphlets to students, you can even collect.
Unfortunately, the
hello.
Thank you very much, members. The announcement is that our debate on the 10th of May. And good luck, honorable members, on your debate on the vote. 33. Thank you very much. The meeting is
Hello, Chair.
Yes.
Honorable. Oh, it's calling for Chairperson.
Yes.
I just wanted to update you on the Free State
okay.
public hearing. The tickets
okay.
will be issued today, so members will be receiving the itinerary from the travel agent, so they must keep it safe.
Yes, ma'am.
Those SMSs
yes,
from the
yes,
travel
ma'am.
Agent. Thank you.
Okay. So how many members? Because last time we had six members.
Yes.
Well, we six. How many members do we have?
Ms. Power is going to join us, so there will be seven members. Chairperson.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Chair, I think I also confirmed that last time my health failed me, but so far it looks like I'm holding up, and I did confirm with it that they can include me unless divine intervention that's otherwise.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think Kholiswa, it's important that the coordinator should check with every each and every member of the committee their availability. Whether we every visit, we shouldn't say yesterday we were five,
okay.
Therefore we assume that the five, that five would be there. It might be that, and then as we follow the rules of...
Okay. The fine if I send to one of you and copy one.
We should then...
okay, let me just confirm Karen says that
we
at
do check
every
time we consult each and every member.
Okay, so Karen is
No, thank you very much.
The hand check.
Okay, Aza is ARTHA.KETILE.
Yes, confirm.
All right, thank you so much, Karen. We'll be...
You know, on voting day, I was in the ICU. On Christmas Day, I was on the ICU. On Good Friday, I was on the ICU. So I think somebody in Limpopo is not liking me doing my assessment. Apologies, just
on the
light.
And there are two
on the 18th of December, Chair. So I did experience a little bit of something called death for almost a minute, but that's a discussion today. I'll tell you how the experience is like one day. But
okay, no. We wish you a speedy recovery from the proper. We'll ask them to have mercy on you. No, thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you for availing yourself for this
meeting.
Long live, Chair.